welcome to the Council of Moms. I'm Lisa Valentine Clark, and I am a mother. I have 5 kids, 1 at home, 2 in college, and 2 on their own, adulting in real life. So there is a span there. And I love the Council of Moms, and I'm super grateful for the women that I have on this show here today to form this council. And I'll let them introduce themselves. Today we have...
Aloha, everyone. I'm G. I'm a mother of 5 as well. We have 3 in college, 2 that are applying to law school, and 1 that is working. Thank goodness someone's earning money. And... that's a good time in life, right? When they're paying their bills.
Right.
So happy to join you all today.
Thanks.
I'm Amy. I'm a mother to 3 boys. I have an adult who's out on his own, an adult who's living here at home, and an 11-year-old. So we are navigating what it means to give our input and to keep our mouths shut.
I love that.
And when you learn what that is, please tell me.
Yeah, seriously, don't hide it.
I'm Erica Price. I am a mother to 5 boys. I have 2 that are out of the house, 1 that keeps revolving dooring it in and out, and then 2 that are still at home.
Well, thank you so much for being here. As always, the Council of Moms, 10,000 hours is just the beginning. Blink, 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 blink. Council of Moms, it's going well. It's going really well. I think it's going well. I like that one. That feels like me.
Yeah.
Council of Moms made with real moms. We've got our real moms here, and we've got our real mom questions. Here's today's question. Moms, this is my nightmare. My 16-year-old is driving, and I thought this was going to change my life in a good way. Rather than me spending so much time ferrying kids to activities, one of them would now be able to transport themselves and maybe even contribute to the family by occasionally giving their rides to their siblings. This was the vision in my head. Instead, this new mobility has started lots of conversations about curfews and boundaries and responsibilities and privileges. And in the meantime, I see my 16-year-old less than ever because we don't have the one-on-one time we used to have when I was driving them everywhere. This is uncharted territory for me, and I wasn't prepared to define so many house rules at once. Council of Moms. How do you support your teenagers' independence in age-appropriate ways while also keeping them safe?
I just have to first say that if you're listening to this, the whole council is just nodding in sympathy and love. Every word of that question.
Like a nervous smile on their face. Like, oh,
that's right.
There.
This is hard. This is hard. It's such a tricky stage of parenting. And that really, I think the driver's license in many ways defines the stage ahead where you're starting to take, no pun intended, a back seat to their... to so many of their decisions. For so long, we've been in charge of everything. Their very survival, their literal survival has been up to us. And then there comes this weird period where we shift away from that. And it's hard. I think it's really challenging to support that independence. But then realize, oh, you're not ready for all that independence yet. So we do have to set some boundaries. And we do have to, instate these new rules that, that's not what we were, that's not the plan we had. We thought this would be just fun that you could drive now. Oh, just
and
so
help
much
me.
Sympathy for that.
And help
me. Yeah, and help me and out. Help. Yeah, yeah.
But you're totally. Not thinking about that. Weird.
Weird.
Yeah.
Very unusual.
You do bring up a good point that one thing that I always like to say about motherhood is it's never just the one thing, right?
Yeah.
It uncovers, when you have a developmental moment, like getting a driver's license, it reintroduces, there's a lot of other things going on, and it just feels a little bit more intense because it is a shift in life. And so, of course, you're talking about curfews and boundaries and safety and, not just, for me, a driver's license and having them out on the road is a reminder that not everyone keeps the rules of the road just because you do. Like, all that safety idea is paramount because they're just thinking, oh, you don't trust me. Why are you getting... And I'm like, oh, no. I just don't trust everybody else on the road,
That's right.
And that kind of obviously is a door that opens up of like, you're getting more independence and getting out into the world. And I got to teach you some more stuff that you have to know because it is life and death stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like I've had it easy in some ways because I've had a kid that has type 1 diabetes. And so in order, if you don't know, in order
to
drive.
That does sound easy, Erica.
Yeah, that does.
That sounds
really
easy.
Where are you going with this, Erica? That is the opposite of easy. We're all like, where is she going with this?
Okay, not the diabetes. That's been a whole other thing. But in order for my diabetic to drive, you have to go through a rigorous process to make sure that your blood sugars are in check, that your doctor signs off that says, you know, yeah, you can trust him to drive. I mean, it's a lot. And then even just for a regular driver, you have to have your eyes checked. You have to, you know, and I just feel like if this is required by law for you to drive, then guess what? There's also some things that me as a mother can demand as well. And, you know, maybe that's responsibility in other areas. Maybe that's that I need to see outward thinking because outward thinking is so important when you're driving. You got to be thinking about everyone else around you. So if you're not being helpful, if you're not being respectful, if you're not, I don't know, like I feel like we can have our own checkups with our kids to say, you're able to drive now or you're not able to drive now because I see you ticking the boxes that matter to us as a family and that will help you as an adult. So anyway,
I like
the diabetes kind of gives us a talking point into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cause I don't know about you guys, but man, when you do the driver's ed with your kid and he's actually in the church parking lot where there's like nothing in sight for like so many hundreds of yards. And you're just like, oh my gosh, we're just going in circles, right?
Yeah.
And you're just like, I don't know how this person, and you know, what would always make me nervous is the braking, brake. I'm saying brake, you know, and then bam. Like,
my kids are always like, why are you pushing your foot down on
the floor?
No reason.
And then you add the radio that's going to be on. And then you add the friends that are in the back that's screaming about something or other. And then the phones. I mean, it's a lot. And I feel like even some kids have postponed getting their driver's license, right? A little bit later because they don't want all that responsibility. And then the insurance rates. Hello. For those boys, I mean, it's a lot to manage.
It's a lot.
In our family, we're always dealing with the budget. And I feel like it's been a good thing in a way that we've had what we call 5-mile radius cars, right? You buy a car for about $1,000 and it's going to get you 5 miles. So that means you can't go on the freeway and you can't go somewhere where I'm not going to be able to come and pick you up, right?
Yeah.
So anyways, it's just hilarious because they would either go from home to school to sports and back and that's it. And so, I don't know, maybe that helped them kind of curb, like, all the joyriding that they'd want to do.
That's a great idea.
I love that. And I think, too, we have to remember a teenager's job is to push back against whatever boundary we set up.
Yeah.
So, no surprise when they get upset by a boundary. Our job as parents is to instate the boundary, and their job is to push back on it. And so, that's part of what comes with this new territory, too, is that they're going to push back on all these new rules of curfew and responsibility and, you know, the privilege of driving, all that kind of stuff. If we can sort of expect that and not be surprised or dismayed by it, I think so much of what has hurt me as a parent have been things that are so developmentally normal for my kids to do. But I'm like, oh, I didn't think they'd ever do that. Or, you know, feeling sad about it when that is literally their job. Their developmental stage of life to do those things. Yeah. I think that can help us too when we are in those transition times. Like, of course they're going to show up that way. Not a big problem that they're doing it because that's their job. And I've, you know, had to have my husband remind me of this when I've been dismayed. Like, I can't believe he just said that. He's like, yeah, that's his job. Remember? It's so helpful to say they're going to push back. You know, they're not going to like a curfew They're going to think they can do everything, you know? Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I think is developmentally normal is they want justification. And I was not always great at justifying why I had a role. And I feel like I'm the mom. I was raised in a house where you just, the mom was the mom and the dad was the dad, and you just followed what they said and they gave no justification. But I think our kids live, I think we live in a time where we can respect our kids a little bit more to give them justification. And I think if they can talk it through the, you know, the curfews, like, well, this is why I think you should be home. And they can say, well, this is why I think I should be given another hour. I think a lot of good can come from that. I think it can actually show collaborative, you know, respect for each other. And maybe as a mom, I really try to say yes as often as I possibly can. And so if they have a really good point for it, it's like, okay, yes. And I come off looking amazing.
Yeah. It's true, like you do.
Mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I don't know. Talking it through, I think, is important. And
oh, yeah. It pays off so many dividends because they feel respected and they feel valued. Mm-hmm. You care what they say and you are willing to like shift according to their good argument or whatever, their good reasons. I mean, I think it's such a relationship builder. It can be such a relationship builder where you then hopefully they meet you at that level of respect when you have something that's not negotiable to say.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, because we all have good reasons.
Yeah. I think it's important, too, for them to realize the bigger picture. Okay, you're in a family.
Yeah.
We have five kids, right?
Yep.
If so-and-so is going to the same practice or the same area you're going, you need to take them. Like, they have to understand that they've got to work together. It's not that we have six cars in the driveway and all the gas that you guys want to use, you know, and all the money for all your friends to come in with you because you got to drop them off every which way. Mm-hmm. But I think it's important for them to realize the dynamics of your family and try and see how they can help out. We had the oldest son who was a saint. I would call him a peacemaker, and they would call him grandpa because every time he'd drive around, he would be the responsible one. They're like, oh, grandpa's here to pick us up. It's like, grandpa? And then they're like, that's your older brother. Yeah, well, he's here. You know, it was like, anyways, he's not going to like that. But he was such a blessing in my life to have the younger ones underneath him. Of course, they went their own way because by the time the youngest one was old enough, it wasn't a big deal anymore. He didn't have to drive everyone around. But I think it's good for them to have that perspective. It's not always about you, but look out for your brothers and sisters as well.
And you have that responsibility.
Yeah, the privilege. I think privilege is mentioned in that question. The privilege of having a car may come with some additional responsibilities. And that's okay, too. What a great lesson that is, right?
Yeah.
You will have some things to do and some things to be responsible for because you have the privilege of driving.
Yeah. But implicit in this question as well, well, actually, explicitly, she says, like, I'm also spending less time with them. Like, we're not in the car and they want their independence. And I just want to validate that in the question. It did seem to me that something happened at 16. They're going out with their friends more. Friends have always started to be a little bit more important to them and their identity, even like years before. But 16 does seem like a rite of passage in our culture, not just with the driver's license, but with the, it's all about friends, it's high school. And I remember an older mom telling me when my kids were younger, like when I was like lamenting when my kids were little about, oh, they grow up so fast. Like everyone says that, but like, I just feel like we get to one stage and then they're next and it's all changing. And they said, just wait till they get into high school. It's like it speeds up. Mm-hmm. Like four times. And I was like, what? And she's like, yeah, it's like they go into high school and then you blink and they're graduating. And I hate that that's true.
Yeah.
I have found that to be true too. And I think it's because you do see them less because they are working part-time usually, or they're doing after-school things, or they have a part-time job, and friends are so much more important, and they have plans in the weekend and in the car, and all the things is different than when they're eight and they come home from school and they're like, what's for the snack. What are we doing? You know,
like, and the time that they really want to talk to you in high school is right when you've gone to bed.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I love that. You're
that's right. When they really
and
want
you're
to share.
So tired. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, that is part of the pain, for sure.
And then what did they say? And then what did they say? Blink, blink. Really? And what did you say? Blink, blink. Blink, blink.
Oh, it's true, though. You got to take those times where you can, you know.
And yeah, it's hard. Like you were saying,
and you feel it. Don't you feel that? Like, you're talking to me. Okay, what do you want to know?
Exactly.
Yes.
They're going to share something. Your ears kind of perk up because, you know, they're excited about the guy or what he said to her, how he looked at her, something like that. And I think, you know, you just stay in the moment with your kids and enjoy every stage they go through, not wishing that, you know, they were younger.
Yeah, you're not crazy. It's happening. You're going to see them less. Take whatever you can get.
Yeah, I guess that is the trade-off. You don't have to drive them around as much, but you have to stay awake longer when they want to talk to you. I mean,
and to make sure they get home, okay?
Yes, right.
And they don't break down or get into an accident or something.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, you always dread those calls, those late-night calls where it's like, okay, what happened?
Yeah.
You know, that's all you think in your mind. It's like, where are you? Is everyone safe? Yeah. You know, that sort of thing.
For the times when they are not interested in talking to you. Meaning, I mean, I would love to say that after every party and every date that the kids wanted to come in and talk a ton, it just depends on my kid. Sometimes I have talkers and I have some that aren't. But I feel like we are really good at scheduling doctor's appointments and tooth cleanings and everything else. And yet I'm not sure when our kids get older that we schedule time with them. And I think we do. I think that's how we navigate this. And so we sit down once a week and we try to say, okay, tell me everyone's schedule. And then the question is, when should we do family time? Because it gives them a little bit of power and control and say in the matter. But I'm like, hey, I just need 2 hours with you. So, like, what could we, like, is that a Wednesday? Is that when we're going to do it? Or is that Sunday? Yeah. Like, when are we doing this? And then they know this is scheduled. You don't get to go, like, abandon mom. You get to be with mom for those 2 hours and with the family. But
sometimes, really with mom.
But with mom as well. Yes,
for sure.
Yeah.
Because, that's they're... If you just let entropy happen, you will not see your kids.
Yeah, that is so true. Having those like rituals in your family of like, well, hey, we always do this. But I like what you're saying, Erica, too, about just being flexible and giving them a little bit of control over that. But because it's like respecting the things that they want to do. So maybe you have a family night where you're, you know, together one night, but it doesn't always have to be on the same, you know, it could change the day of the week.
Absolutely.
Depending on when everyone else is available.
Yep. Yep,
I really like how you said that, Erica. And our family, we'd be running in 1,000 different directions. And sometimes my husband would just, we had this term, it's called Manuia time, where everyone just breaks. Like you just, every schedule's cleared. And typically we would get in the car, get some snacks at like a 7-Eleven or Maverick, you know, so everyone's happy with a drink or chips or candies or whatever, and go for a drive. And in that drive, we would talk and we'd share our feelings. And it was something nice where no sibling would feel like they're put on the spot, you know, but they're all sharing together. And I think as those traditions happen in your family, you're modeling what you want them to do in their families because they see what's successful, what's held, you know, the family together. And I think you're right. You have to put those things in place because it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love that.
Oh, I do. You know, a lot of people come to the Council of Moms and look for, like, am I just doing this right? Is this you know, like you sort of check in with other moms, don't you, that are a little older than you or younger than you of like, am I being unreasonable? So I'd love to ask, especially with this question of when she's like, there was this vision I had in my head about how it was supposed to be. If someone came to you and said, okay, so is this realistic? What kind of boundaries and rules do you guys think are appropriate for someone who's 16 who is driving? What do you think is, like, because I've talked to a lot of, like, younger moms who are like, yeah, like, what do you even, like, where do you even start with that? And I'm just curious what your rules have been and how they've changed.
I just think it's so important. And this is hard, especially for kids. Sometimes we have to treat each kid as an individual case. Like, G's just talking about her oldest son, who could have all the responsibility in the world because he was ready for it.
Grandpa knew the rules.
Yeah, grandpa knew the rules. Yeah.
He understood the assignment.
Yeah. Yes. Oh my gosh, right? And so that's hard. If your next kid needs a little tighter rein, that's difficult for kids. But maybe that's when we teach them life's not fair. I don't know. I don't think there's a hard and fast rule that I don't know how well it works.
Oh, I like that.
To say, I think there's so much comfort in saying this is what we do in our family and this is the rule for everyone. And I think there are times when we have to say, this kid is showing extra responsibility. And maybe that's where we start. Maybe,
or this is a unique experience.
And, yeah, responsibility loosens when you show that you have, you know, kind of like you were saying, Erica, when I see these behaviors, I know you're ready for this. So I don't know that that's all that helpful.
I have used phrases like that of like, well, you know, you're doing well in school or you're all of your assignments are in and you're helping out around the house. So this is a privilege. Yeah, that's okay. I think maybe we can extend your curfew for a little bit because you have everything. And I've also said the contrary of like, listen, you don't have all your assignments in. You're lucky that I'm even going to let you go out. Like, don't push it. Yeah. Like, this is not a privilege that you have earned.
Yeah. A great phrase I learned is, this doesn't seem to be working for you.
I like
Which
that.
It's so great. Instead of saying, it's not working for me to have you out.
I love that. This doesn't seem to be working for you.
Yeah, this doesn't seem to be working for you. Getting you know, to school on time, getting your assignments in, and having all these privileges with the car doesn't seem to be working for you. So we're going to dial back.
I do love that.
I love that.
I was going to just add that, you know, like you're saying, with each child, it's going to be different. I think for us, we just stress communication, right?
Yes.
Because mom and dad are concerned.
Yes.
And so it's not that we care about the curfew as much as we care about you. So if you don't tell us what's going on, where you're at, that you're okay, that so-and-so is mom's picking you guys up or whatever the arrangements are, that's when we start to worry, you know? And I feel like if your kids know that you love them and you're concerned for them, you just need that communication.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then it kind of takes away from like the checklist versus I love you as a person. I want to keep you safe. I want to have all this time with you.
Yeah.
But you need to let me know what is going on.
I love that. I love that so much. And in fact, I was just talking to a teenager yesterday, and they said, it's so important that we can talk to you about and know that it is possible that maybe we could extend our curfew a little bit, because they're like, what you don't know, mom, is if you are like just draconian about the, you know, the midnight or the 11 or whatever your curfew is, I don't know, you will have us maybe driving home at like 75 miles an hour so that we can get home and we're endangering ourselves. Whereas if we're in the middle of a movie and it has 20 minutes left, we know we can call and say, mom, there's 20 minutes left. Is that okay? And I'm like, yes, communication. Thank you. Please just communicate with me, because you are more important than the curfew. I will say this though. You darn well better call me before the curfew. Like, don't call me after the curfew.
Call me before. Yes. Don't take advantage of me.
Yes. Do not. Do not.
I've
already got enough things to worry about.
Yes. I can't tell you how many conversations have ended with me just being so frustrated and going, I'm just really tired. And they're like, just go to bed. And I'm like, I cannot sleep until I know that all of my baby chickens are in the coop and the house is locked up. And they're like, that's weird. And I'm like, no, it's not weird.
It's not.
I'm obsessed with you. Yeah. And it's my job to keep you safe. So that whole idea of just go to sleep and I'll be home wherever, I just think is the funniest thing ever. Because yeah. I said, what you're doing is even if I do doze off, I'm going to wake up in a startle at 2 a.m. being right. like, are yeah. you here? Wandering around. Yeah. Like, we're not doing that. Like, yeah. you're going to give me a heart attack. And trying to get them to realize that it's, you know, it's actually not super safe to drive late at night. Weird.
Yeah.
And things like that, and trying to get them to have this sense of responsibility. But I like that. I think it's better just to say, you know, this idea of community, and this is, I don't think this is working for you.
Yeah. Listen, I'm going to admit this, that I can go to sleep before my kids are home.
Annie!
I do.
Good for you.
I know.
Tricks. Good for you. I'm
just here to normalize it if it's possible. That. Because right. I used to think that was a bad mom. Like, what kind of mom goes to sleep before her kids?
I just have a panic attack.
Yeah. I can do it now. And it has to do a lot, you know, with my with what I know my kids are up to and that kind yeah. of thing. You know, yeah. they've got the track record and all of that.
Right.
So if there's a mom out there who does go to sleep, I just want to say to you, I'm with you. I do too. I go to sleep. Yeah. My kids are older now. So that's part of it too. But I do. I go to sleep. I can't stay up that late sometimes, you guys. I got things to do in the morning, you know?
I had a friend who went to sleep too, but this was her trick. She would set her alarm for the curfew. And she's like, if my alarm goes off and you haven't come in and shut it off,
yeah.
then we're in trouble.
Oh, that's good. That's good. Yeah.
That's good. Like that.
Another thing I was going to say is I am, and I'm sure other parents have different theories and opinions, and I get that. But for us, non-negotiable is if you are driving, you have a cell phone on you. At all times, in case you need to call me. I don't want any excuses of, there was no phone, I couldn't call you.
Yeah. And or it wasn't charged.
Yes. And you have the tracker on. I need to be able to know where you are. Yes. So.
I will say that. I do have the location is on. So when I go to sleep, I know and we have, you know, you wake me up when you come home, or I've even with, you know, as they've gotten older, just text me when you're home so that when I wake up in the middle of the night, I can see that you're here, or I can go to find my and say, okay, they're in the house. I do still keep track that way for sure.
Love it.
I have horrible stories that I won't share.
I can't hear them.
Oh no.
Because I need my sleep, Lisa.
Of, you know, waking up in the middle of the night, where's my kid? There's no text. There's no. Mm-hmm. So I've been through that, and that does not work for me.
Yeah.
And I have learned those lessons. And so with the subsequent children, I'm like, guess what? I'm not doing anymore. My nervous system has been fried. It has made me physically and emotionally sick. And that's my boundary.
Yep.
You want to live
in
this house?
Thank your older brother for that.
You can thank the older one. I only have to learn the lesson one time.
There you go.
No, really. No one else is looking out for me. And so I need to be looking out for me. And so, and I appreciate being able to share that too by just saying that, like, it's okay to make boundaries for your own health of like, oh, this is how we live. This is how I have to live and function, you know, especially as a single mom of like, the buck stops here, kids. There's no tag team or anything. And so as a result, I have certain fears and concerns that maybe I didn't have before. So help a mom out is kind
help
of
a
the...
Mom out. Amen.
Amen. Well, and it enters into the conversation about boundaries and rules and why, and an explanation, and whether it's fair or not. I'm like, this is the mom you have, and this is the situation. Yeah. And but I think that all applies of like having the conversation instead of just saying just because I said so is I think is appropriate too, and you have to find out what works for you. And I think that can bring in an entirely new conversation too about what it's like having adult children live with you, which is different than having children who are under 18. It just is different. Yes. And the conversations are different and the rules are different. And and that's an entirely different episode of that, you know.
Regarding boundaries, I think I've said it before in the Council of Moms, but it's worth repeating, you guys, that when we create boundaries are business And our relationship with our kids are personal. And so if we can keep the boundaries, they're neutral. They're not they're not keeping these rules so that we, you know, to please me or so that I won't be mad at them or whatever. Those are just the boundaries. And as much as we can establish that these are the rules and the rules dictate it, you know, it's not about like me being mad at you or me being disappointed in you. I just found so much freedom in separating my feelings from the boundaries for my kids, you know. They get to respond how they want to the boundaries and our relationship. I'm still going to be nice to them. You know, I'm going to connect with them. All that stuff is our personal relationship that we nurture. And if we can take out the big emotional drama, our own emotional drama around the boundaries, and we just enforce, you didn't get home on time. And so, you know what the consequence for that is.
Yeah.
And you lose the car or whatever. And it's not, you know, it's not accompanied by a whole big lecture or a big tirade or whatever. It's just, that's the boundary. Anyway. I feel like that's been so helpful for me as a mom to separate those.
Absolutely.
And less nagging and so much more responsibility. Oh, you crossed, you know, that boundary, or you know what the consequence is for that rule. So that's what we do.
Surprises.
We're
going to
stick with that.
Yep.
Yeah, no surprises. It's not based on my mood or whether or not I'm feeling extra merciful or kind. It's just
Or I haven't slept
rule,
in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Or I'm hungry.
Yeah. And what I love too is that it doesn't mean that you don't have those feelings, that you just, that's not where you express them. You express them here with their council of moms.
Totally.
And I'm not kidding. Totally. Like with other moms, it's like, do you believe this? And then I was like, and then it's okay. Cause you can still have your feelings and you can process that and have that with your friends, but you're not putting that on your kids.
On the kids.
And you're not straining that on your relationship.
Yeah. Yes.
So,
yes.
So thank you for being part of my Council of Moms, the place where we put everything you need to. So thank you. This has been a really great discussion about boundaries, about rules, curfews, and also about the developmentally appropriate phases and how it requires constant sort of negotiation and renegotiation in creating and maintaining a really great relationship with our kids. And that's really what we want through the different phases. And we can deal with the emotional outbursts with the Council of Moms. Because they're bound to happen. So thank you so much, everyone. G, Amy, Erica, thank you for your time. Thank you for being here. Thank you for listening to the Council of Moms wherever you listen to your podcasts. We hope that you'll follow us over on YouTube. You can join the community, ask the questions that you are dying to ask the Council of Moms. And we'd love to also hear you ring in on this topic and the other topics that we talk about, because we're stronger together. We need each other's ideas and creativity in order to make up this motherhood business as it goes along. So thank you for being part of the Council of Moms, which is a production of BYU Radio, and we will see you next time.